Let me tell you who's doing sneakers the best in the game right now. That's New Balance. The two-way V4, featuring this groundbreaking use of technology with fresh foam. It's called Fuel Cell, creating this combination that we love of rebound and cushioning. Fresh foam offers unparalleled cushioning for maximum comfort your entire game from start to finish. The upper construction features this lightweight textile that reduces weight, which we all need, I know I do, while remaining supportive and breathable. Hard to find that combo. The two-way V4 gives you the tools that you need to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way V4 at newbalance.com.
Nah, 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 come on!
On this episode of the Heat Check, we've got the Lightyear boys talking about what's happening with Golden State. They just blew a lead to the Mavericks. Draymond's nowhere in sight. He's on his podcast. He's grinning from ear to ear with the TNT guys. And yet, he's not on the court. All right, Brock, let's drop that beat. All right, let's get this popping, man. Let's get this vibe going. Co-host of the Light Years podcast, Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. We're talking a little Warriors on a Monday night. Pod will probably come out on Tuesday because I'm not going to make my guy Brock not only sit here with his laptop open, but I'm not going to be a she-devil and make him edit this thing and put it on the podcast. So if you're listening to this, it's happening on a Tuesday. On a Tuesday! What are you guys doing? What is going on? How do you end up losing a 20-point fourth quarter lead to the Mavs? They're over here. You got Spencer Dinwiddie giving you the business.
First off, Andy's Warriors lost the 20-point lead. My Warriors were on the injured list. No.
It's been downhill actually since my victory lap in the beginning of the season for the Warriors. If you checked in on the last 30 games of the Warriors, they've actually been more of a 7 seed. Then they've been a 2 seed, right, that they are right now. They've actually still got the second best record in the NBA. It doesn't feel like it. King Jaw tonight went for 52. We've got Steph still stuck at around 37% from three. So it's been a weird few months actually for the Warriors. You talk about slumping. This is not, Sam? This is not like a blip anymore. It feels like a trend almost with these guys.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm 50-50 on it because on the one hand, they're missing, you know, like Sunday they had no Draymond Green, no Klay Thompson. In theory, you should lose that game. On the other hand, when you're up 20 with at the end of the third quarter, it doesn't really matter who you have. Like, you should be able to just coast that one to a victory. And that's kind of like the dichotomy of the Warriors season. It's like we can tell ourselves, like, when Draymond comes back, when they figure it all out, like, I like the way the roster looks. But then on the other hand, James Wiseman is ramping it up, and they plan to insert him, and I don't know what that means.
Random Wiseman.
Can I just say this? I don't have a lot of intel in this business. I don't have a lot of intel. I don't, because I don't go to games anymore post-pandemic. I don't talk to anyone, really. I'm just basically locked in.
Officially confirming you're not Woj. Got it.
I'm not Woj. I'm stuck into a studio mostly, like, for pretty much all of my life. But here and there, I get some sprinklings. I do not think James Wiseman is coming back this season. I don't think so. And that's not just my own imagination. I think there's whispers. But, I mean, who knows? I think that the optimism of him playing, given how little time is left in the season, what you would need, 20 games left in the season, get him ramped up, and then what? You do the
hashtag the ramp up, yeah.
Hashtag the ramp up that's been happening all year long with setback after setback, right? And then you've got, like, Kuminga, who's getting starter minutes as well. I just find it to be very, not concern. Concern's not the right word. I would say puzzling. That there are teams that believe that they can develop guys at the same time they're really.
There's only one team that believe that.
These are not the actions of a team that are all in on winning the title,
right,
in 2022. So, like, I'm with you, and, like, even if we take a step back, if Wiseman comes back, he hasn't played basketball in a year.
Right.
And it's not like we're talking about a 10-year veteran here.
It's not like he's Clay coming back from the ACL.
Yeah.
Not like he's Clay coming back.
It's, you know, it's a... He's not going to be ready to guard Nikola Jokic in 8 games.
Well, the sick part is that they actually kind of need him. That's really the sick part. I don't mind that he's not ready to play. You kind of can't blame the kid. Who could be ready? But the really disgusting part is Bielitsa's terrible. They didn't pick up a big in the trade market, and they're not going to pick up a big in the buyout deadline that's coming up here, I think. I think it might have been today or tomorrow. So they're not picking anyone up.
Wait, God, DeAndre Jordan, guys.
Actually.
I'd rather ride with Belly than that. But point stands.
That crossed my mind. What if they do get DeAndre Jordan? What if they do?
That would be
pretty nasty.
Sickening. Sickening. What do you think happened? Like, why didn't they go out and get a big? Because, you know, it looked like Rashawn Holmes was out there, right. Possible, like, definitely gettable. Sacramento doesn't feel like he works in the system with the trades that they've made. You've obviously the big fish to try to go out and figure out, probably not going to be possible at the trade deadline for a Christian Wood type. But there are guys that you could certainly try to, maybe like even a Jalen Smith. Right, from Phoenix, like he ended up getting moved as well. Like, do you think that there's some regret that they didn't try to do more with the center position, given like the herniated disc or bulging disc for Draymond and kind of how Kevon has? I mean, there's not a lot of depth there either.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, where do we go with this one? If I was to describe the Warriors, it's think of the most stereotypical Silicon Valley tech company possible, and that's their decision making. It's like they're more concerned with selling low on it doesn't matter what it is. Wiseman, future pick, doesn't matter. Like, then acknowledging, like, okay, maybe in a year and a half he'll be better than this, and it might look bad, but this is gonna give us a better shot to win a title. And let's be real, this is a pretty wide open year. Like, do you think anyone is like a out and out favorite this year? Like, I think Milwaukee and Philly look good, but like, it's not the, you know, it's not the 1996 Bulls. You know, it's not that sort of situation. So
the Warriors will. I think they want to act like they're the smartest team in the NBA, and this is the way to do it. And they've got guys that aren't going to push them. Like, Steph and Draymond aren't really like, oh, well, let's figure out how to get Miles Turner, which is actually, I think, the other name that was interesting. Yep. If you're talking about
that's my guy.
That's a guy that they could have looked into. But end of the day, they're saying, hey, we're gonna rely on Draymond. He's going to be the starting center when things are, you know, 8 minutes left in crunch time, right? Last night, Draymond plays, they win. Last night, Clay plays, they win. Or 2 nights ago now. So that's what they're relying on. They're saying, hey, we're going to be like the Spurs of a few years back, right? Let's just get to the postseason. We're going to win 55 games. But as long as we get those three guys healthy, I would say that they're as good as a chance to win anyone to win a championship if those guys are healthy.
Or just like the Spurs, where it's like, you know what? We're going to stick to our plan. It might not hit the highest of highs, but we're also never going to have you know, like, whatever the hell is going on with the Lakers this year with, like, we're going to trade it all for, oops, Russell Westbrook, that type of thing. Like, oops. It's ride, like, the consistent, like, we're going to trust that this is going to turn into some sort of 2014 perfect apex Spurs thing.
Yeah, I think that the thing that is very obvious and evident is that there is no shot that Joe Lacob is mortgaging his future for one possible title right now, like, or the next year for a 2 year window. There's just absolutely no possibility, given the amount of rings that this team already has and the amount of finals that they went to. He's like, I'm not settling for just putting all the chips in and saying, all right, we're gonna essentially just one more ring. That incremental, the diminishing returns, like, big brain Silicon Valley economist in them, right? There's just no that there's a pain point, because in a year from now, say you even win the ring, you've got the parade, and it's like, what's next?
There's
now we have a very expensive Miles Turner and like 36-year-olds all around.
There is Joe Lacob wants to win when Steph retires. Like he is thinking of, I mean, of course he does, but he's thinking of like, hey, we're not doing the LeBron thing where LeBron leaves every team that he's ever been on and they're just to shit. Once LeBron's done with the Lakers, you know, this year or next year, whenever, they're done for four seasons, right? Lacob does not want that to happen. Whether that's
they're about to get that Maroon 5 guy to just post himself in every jersey possible. Oh,
man,
is that like too deep of a cut
no,
at this point?
No, it's a good one. Good looking guy. Really, really, really went downhill though. Their music, but anyway, they're that's where he doesn't want to be. Joe Lacob wants to say, "I have Wiseman, Kuminga, and Poole. I could win without Steph." I don't know. Who knows if that'll work out, but that's what he wants.
I was talking to somebody about this the other day, though. I don't think in the history of sports outside of, like, Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, that you can basically say, all right, well, there's going to be no gap between one dynasty and another. That whole, like, we're going to cross over and have no window of trashness. I wouldn't even call that mediocrity. I would say, like, a rebuild. It seems like they believe that that's possible, and I don't know that it's proven itself to ever be possible in sports outside of a couple anomalies.
This is peak Silicon Valley. Winning isn't enough. They have to, like, big brain and and break the whole cycle. Yep. You know, like we were saying, most owners would be like, I don't know, man, we're one of the three best teams here, and this move gives us a title. Let's go for it, and we'll deal with 2025 when we get there, right? But not the Warriors. We're trying to intellectually beat the world.
Beat history, actually, is what they're trying to do, which is crazy because all this comes down to how good Steph Curry is. I mean, he's already shown to be one of the greatest players of all time. But if you want to bridge the gap between now and then, you're basically asking Steph Curry, who's now 33 years old, to be great for another three seasons. Because Kuminga's not going to be a superstar. I mean, Sam and I are high on him, but he's not going to be a superstar for another three seasons. Wiseman,
if everything breaks right.
Yeah, Wiseman even, you know, who knows, right? So you're basically asking Steph to say, be great for three more years, win one title, and then we're going to get these guys. Like, that's what it always comes down to. Like, it has nothing to do with how smart Joe Lacob is. It's how good Steph, Draymond, and Clay. It's what it always comes down to.
And to me, it's like, I don't know. And I know that a big and a duo, it's that new reemergence, right? That James Harden, Embiid, that two-man game. There's like, that's starting to become the shiny new toy again versus just guard play leading the way. But if you wanted, I guess, a crossover, or you wanted like to have that carry on, I don't understand. And we've talked about this a million times, so I'm not going to belabor it. If you were going to do that, you would have taken LaMelo, because that would bridge the gap much easier than
Sam's favorite topic.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean,
it's like so old and tired, but that's what you would have done if you really wanted to bridge the gap.
Well, and that's the other part, because they talk out of both sides of their mouths, where they're like, we're trying to bridge the future, but he's a better fit. And I'm like, can you just be honest and be like, you kind of misscouted the situation? Like, you would have took LaMelo if you knew he was this good, but you didn't. You're a little timid. You watched him, and you're like, I don't know. They can barely handle Jordan Poole.
Let's talk about, like, Jordan Poole right now, and LaMelo is 10 times better. And also, they didn't draft him because they felt like LaMelo was going to be hard to coach. Let's be honest. And Jordan Poole right now, he didn't play last night. He played 19 minutes last night. Guys like JTA.
He's been having a hard time with Clay coming back and his role being pushed back, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And they feel like he's kind of a diva. And I think that's kind of how they probably felt about LaMelo Ball and why they didn't draft him. And right now, let's be honest, they need Jordan Poole to win playoff games. And right now, Jordan Poole right now is not going to win them anything. They're going to lose games with him out there. He looks lost after starting like a he was a $20 million player to start the year. Right now he's mid-level.
How do you get him back to being locked in? Because it feels like, you know, who's responsible for that? Is that like a Clay you know, take him by the shoulder and mentor him and, like, take him on your boat and, like, take some Instagram videos? Or, like, how do you get him to that place? Because it seems like, you know, there's a big ego shot when Clay's been out for two seasons and your responsibility's gone up and all of a sudden that's been snatched away from you from someone who's, you know, very clearly deserves it, but still it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, if you could figure that out, you should have Steve Kerr's job. So
yeah.
it's kind of that's the other part of win while developing for the future that's tough. Jordan Poole does not have generational wealth. He's not Klay Thompson signing like a $200 million deal for eternity. And he also hasn't won three championships. Like Klay, Steph, those guys, like they're made men in NBA history and they're playing for legacy and, you know, a bunch of stuff. And like obviously you don't get to that point without being hyper competitive. Jordan Poole was the 28th pick and he's trying to get that next contract and kind of figure out who he is in this league. And that's kind of the hard part about the whole like two timeline thing, because I don't think Klay or Steph care about their stats. Like they know they're going to the Hall of Fame. They know like the difference between them averaging like 24 and 21 points doesn't matter. Yep. Jordan Poole is at that stage of his career where it's like, no, actually those 2 points per game are the difference between $50 million on my contract. Or something like that, and that's
or that's how he feels, right?
And you're right. Maybe it isn't. But like until it's signed and in the bank account,
right?
I mean, Andy, I get stressed over far smaller things. So
I mean, $20 million is the rumor that he was going to get this season, right? And he's 22 years old. You can understand it's not like he's the most mature person because shit, I mean, I remember me at 22. If you put in $20 million in front of my face, I would have done some weird stuff. You know what I mean? And this right now, I'm sure Jordan Poole is not
happy. This is all off the record.
Yeah. Take this. I'm sure he's not happy. Like, who would be happy about this? At the same time, I guess the solution for me, just let him play. Like, cut it out with the tough love stuff. Like, you are not – Steve Kerr is not – you're not a college coach. This is the NBA.
So what's the deal with that? He's basically like saying, if your attitude's not right, I'm just not gonna play you. Or what's the deal?
I don't know how else. I don't know how else you read it. Last night's a perfect example. Yep. Okay, Klay Thompson's not playing. Draymond Green's obviously not playing. They start Moses Moody and GP2, like
against the Mavericks.
When you start those two, that's like we're doing everything in our power to make sure Jordan Poole does not start.
Especially Moody.
And then what did you say, 19 minutes?
Yeah, 19 Sounds minutes. Right. 19 minutes, yeah.
He kind of was slow off the bench. It just, you watched when he was in there too. Pouting. You could tell he was a little like, yeah, pouting's a great way to put it. It seems like it wasn't about like, we think you're, you know, sloppy handling the ball. It felt very much like an interpersonal thing. Yep. So,
yikes. That's definitely like something that people aren't talking about is the like shifts in culture with guys coming in and out of the lineup and that new guard versus old guard and trying to bridge the gap and like Kuminga getting a lot of minutes when very clearly he's helping you lose games right now, even though he's a highlight machine. My question though is like, Draymond has just been out for way too long.
Draymond is also way too happy for someone that's been out for way too long. And it is very weird. Either he's cool being an inside the NBA TNT analyst with our guy, Shaq and Chuck, or he's back next week. Right. Or
shout out to the show, Charles Barkley.
Yeah, friend of the show, yeah. Charles. Yeah, he can make a lot of, like, what is he, $25 million right now? I'm sure he gets, you know, a lot doing it. Like, I just, it's hard. Sam and I are very confused because for someone that is supposedly out for another month, he's a pretty cheery guy.
Yeah, it's the tone. I have a very hard time thinking he's not coming back. Like, he sounds like he's not concerned about it. Like, we can compare it. Remember when Kevin Durant was hurt in 2019 during the playoffs?
Oh boy.
Media silence.
They literally walled us off.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. Or like, you know, Even James Wiseman with the Warriors, walled off, all that stuff. Meanwhile, Draymond, like, media sessions are like, give me the microphone. I'm about to do stand-up comedy and tell you about how much I'm going to dominate when I'm back. Like, he doesn't have that, like, I'm done for the year vibe. And, you know, he's an athlete and he's a competitive person. Doesn't mean he's potentially wrong, but he's absolutely operating like it's not a big deal and I'll be back in mid-March, which was the timeline that everyone's floating out there right now.
And I think for the Warriors, too, if you're going off of what you're saying, which is like, let's just get to the postseason with everybody healthy. Let's just load manage. Like, we got the number two seed, and we know, like, the Suns aren't going to make any headway. They're having issues of their own. The only team we really need to worry about right now is Memphis in the West. And, like, if we can just get to the playoffs sort of completely full strength. That's why it feels like they're holding Andre Iguodala out as well. It's kind of like, we're going to get our old guys. They're all on ice. They're in the cryogenic chamber until maybe not even in the first round, depending on who we actually play. And maybe like a slow ramp up period, but with load management. Is that kind of how it feels like to you?
If you told me that the Warriors are playing an NBA, for some reason, an NBA Finals game next Friday, I can 99% guarantee you Draymond's out there. Andre Iguodala's out there. I mean, Clay obviously is out, and Steph's out there. Like, it feels like to me that's exactly what they're doing. But it doesn't mean that these issues aren't still issues. Like, they can't freaking score in crunch time.
Yeah.
That is the number one issue for this team. They can defend. They still got Steph. They've got Clay, right? But they cannot score in crunch time. Teams will throw three at Steph, and they've got no one. Andrew Wiggins is
it's Draymond going into a dribble handoff with someone who's trying to go into another dribble handoff.
Dudes throwing each other the fucking ball with nothing being done. It just I think that's going to be an issue regardless of whether guys come back or not.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say too, is it's like you now have Steph in what is very clearly a shooting slump.
Oh.
Like 17 straight games of, like, what is he shooting? 35% from three, worst of his career.
Do numbers even matter anymore?
Yeah.
No, I mean, for Steph, no. I mean, when you see him do what he did in the All-Star game, it shows you that he can turn it on. Obviously, that kind of feels mental, though, to me, to a degree. Like, I saw your tweet, Sam, where it was like Warriors fans are seeing this being like, oh, is Steph now going to be on a heater for the rest of the season because this is the moment where it's like,
right,
you've woken up and been like, oh, I actually can get out of this mental fog. But then now he goes back to very competitive play and it's still kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, so he can still obviously shoot the ball. But
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
like,
it's not in debate, I think. Yeah,
it's like, do you think he's worn down? Do you think it's finally teams catching up? Because, like, they do play some pretty disgusting lineup combinations around him. Like, a lot of, like, yeah, dude, we're gonna throw three guys at you and dare Moses Moody to hit four threes, you know, like, go for it, Mo, you know, that sort of thing. Is it a, you know, just a random variants and like that sort of thing, like, I don't know, but it's weird because I've never seen him have this prolonged slump. Like, usually his slumps are 2 weeks. We all kind of concern troll, like, oh my god, what, Steph, he's shot 38% for four games in a row, and then next thing he knows, he goes like on a heater, right, you know, like that sort of thing.
He reads every tweet about him sucking from three.
He is a halftime tweet reader. We know that for a fact.
I think he's gonna be under 40% for the first time in his career. He's 37 and a half right now. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. Like, it is a problem.
Relax, Joe. Like,
I don't know. Might want to trade him. I don't know. They have more pressing concerns. But last night he had two open threes at the end of the game. He missed both. So I
missed them.
I can't get too mad at someone like Gary Payton missing shots or Damian Lee missing shots, because those guys are Gary Payton and Damian Lee. You know, Steph's missing open shots down in the fourth quarter. That's, you know, we don't see that very often. It would be interesting for me. I thought
That's what he saves for the playoffs.
Yeah, man. You would think. You could, you know, he does play well in the
– Relax, Joseph.
she couldn't wait to throw that one. I don't know. We'll see. I always think if he had last season, Steph, he shot like that this season, it'd be interesting to see what the Warriors' record would be. But I don't know. Maybe he just needs Draymond back. Just something about the passes Draymond throws to him. Maybe it's that.
Just as the kids say, comfortability with the line. Just getting guys. I mean, Klay obviously is going to be a great safety valve when teams blitz Steph in the playoffs. Something that he hasn't had in a couple of years. So I guess what's the temperature right now? Where are you guys at? It seems like you guys are cautiously right down the middle.
Room temperature? I'm not particularly concerned.
You're like Palo Alto weather, Sam, right now? Like room temp? Is that?
Well, I'm thinking more water, yeah. To be frank. Okay. You know, it's like you turn the water a little warm because you want to, I don't know.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Be lazy.
Okay.
And you put like your hand there like this.
Yeah, okay.
It's like
yeah, exactly. Okay. It's no, not quite. Not quite bath. Well, maybe I like my baths warmer than you. But
yeah.
it's like, yes, it is bathtub weather where I'm just like, you know, gonna go with it. I'm not in love with everything that's going on, but until someone tells me that they are injured or something weird is happening, I'm gonna side off. You know, we will see.
The rest of the NBA is just not. Nobody scary out there. That's really the big thing for me is you got Milwaukee.
Nets got Drummond, dude.
The Nets. Who knows, right? We've been saying that for 3 years now. You've got the Bucks who are struggling.
They're gonna lift the mandate.
Yeah, Josiah.
I'm sure Kyrie will find a new reason to not play.
Load management through non-vaccination.
Sixers might be the team right now. If you have to pick a team, yeah. The Sixers with James Harden might be the team right now. That's the best team in the NBA winning championship.
Is that not the craziest shit you've ever seen where James Harden consistently looks fat and slow and unathletic, and then all of a sudden he gets traded in the first game, he plays, he looks like an MVP? It's something that is a skill to be able to look as bad as he did and to brick shots that he hits with ease to then hit these like contested step back threes from 30 feet. Playing, I don't know. That's just maybe one of the more remarkable, impressive swings in skill level.
Well, he's done it several times. Yeah, it's like not his first rodeo. Yeah.
Seven or eight times.
He's just a serial, like, I was going to do a dating comparison, but I don't even think I could do it because he's just
bouncing back.
You know who James Harden is? James Harden is West Elm Caleb.
I don't even know if I...
What? Look up West Elm Caleb. He was the guy who matched with a bunch of girls in New York City. It went super viral on TikTok. I'm surprised you don't know who he is. And then he like has a bunch of dates and goes on maybe one date, doesn't sleep with them, sends them like a dick pic, and then ghosts them.
Wow.
And then does it again and again and again. Like all of Manhattan had
run. Sounds like Sam in his younger years. No, I'm kidding.
No, and then for him to say, oh, I'm actually one of the best teammates in the NBA was shameless. Just...
Fucking shameless.
It was shameless.
Shameless. NBA superstars are shameless. All of them.
They are.
There's nobody more
shameless.
I'm going
to give you a rollie. Yeah. I'm going to take you to the strip club, give you a rollie, and that makes me a really good teammate.
The dick pic after their first date is very much a hard move. It's like, you know, dropping 40 with 10 assists.
Yeah.
Letting you imagine the possibilities. But it leads to nothing.
And you're like,
it leads to nothing.
It literally was like, all I have is this photo in my phone now. I don't even know you. You don't even respond. You go green bubble. And all I have is this phone of you in your bathtub, and I can see your little bee.
In warm water. In lukewarm
water. In warm water. This is what we get for an 11 p.m. Eastern podcast, I guess. That's all right, so Warriors go to the finals, yes or no?
I go first. I think yes. I think the Warriors, the Western Conference is not very good. I don't love the Suns, and Memphis is a year or two away. Memphis reminds me of the Warriors back when the Warriors were coming up, the team that lost to the Spurs in the second round. So I think yes.
Comp out question. Stop. Because I think there's a really good chance that they go to the finals. I think they're going to get the shit kicked out of them by the Grizzlies the Bucks,
the
or one of like the Eastern Conference teams.
Or the Sixers.
But I do think they have a very realistic chance to make it through the West.
If they get beat by a Western Conference team, who is it?
Oh, we're giving the same answer. This is lame.
I think it's the Grizzlies, though, Sam. I think it's the Grizzlies. I think it's the Grizzlies. I think they beat the Suns. I think they're a good matchup for the Suns. I think they understand what Chris Paul's going to do. He's not that much of a problem. You know who's a problem? John Morant and that team that can run up and down and play small ball with them. I think if they lose, they lose to Memphis. If they get to the Western Conference Finals, I think they beat the Suns.
Yeah,
I'm going to give a dark horse answer to the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, stop. You are sick. Maxi Kleber is going to kick him out. Maxi Kleber.
I think what
Spencer Dinwiddie game winner? Series ender? Spencer Dinwiddie? NFT? The NFT crypto. Shot that was?
I'm pivoting. So, you know, I'm going full crypto. We got to go with the crypto god.
Oh.
Crypto god. And, like, he'll do it.
He's got to have an NFT step back. Like, yes. That's got to be the move. It's just...
100%.
I'm with Andy. I think Memphis is the more likely one. But, like, if you're asking me to pick a dark horse, I'm not ruling out Dallas and Denver.
Denver?
I just want to make it clear, it won't be Phoenix. that's all I want to go with.
Yep.
And you should definitely keep your eye on JaVale McGee because he's going to look to get some money. I bet he wants to come back. And he's the number one role man right now in the NBA. You could use him. That was a mistake. That was a miscalculation.
The Warriors ever run a pick and roll.
That was good.
Tepid bath water here on the heat check. It's the bathtub check here at 11 p.m. on a Monday. Thank you, boys, for joining me. We will definitely check back in. Now I know that this is the time that you guys can come on. It's just late night vibes. It's just late night vibes.
It's for the better. Thanks, Crystal.
I know. I like you this way. It's like a little slurry. It's like a little slurry, and I'm not sure if it's just tiredness or if it's a cocktail, but I really don't care which. I don't care. Hookah, whatever. Whatever you're up to, I love it.
You know,
thanks.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. We're not judging. Thanks, boys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.